Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. And we have been in a series in Ephesians that is dealing with spiritual warfare. And that warfare is real. If you're here, or maybe you're here for the baptisms, maybe you're new here, you really do need to know that there is a God and there is a devil, and that devil wants to wreck your life. This warfare that we're in is no joke. And if you have any doubt that there is a spiritual warfare, if you just sit there and say, I'm not so sure, Christmas is 1 month away. And if you think about it, right now, spiritual warfare goes into full effect. From now until really after Christmas, there's going to be all kinds of battles that go on in your heart and your minds. I mean, think about it. Christmas is about what? It's about the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who came in that we would have life and we would be redeemed. And somehow, in this world, the devil has taken that and he has twisted it and he has made it such that Christmas is, in this world, not about Jesus and his coming in to be the Savior of the world at all. It's about buying gifts and it's about having celebrations and it's about all kinds of secular traditions that have zero to do with Jesus. In reality, Christmas has kind of been hijacked to where, and it's a lot of it's good stuff. You know, you're decorating, you're shopping, you're getting together, you're having family gatherings, you're entertaining things, we're having Christmas programs. And some of those are trying to make the gospel message clear, but a lot of what goes on ends up causing difficulties. And then we have loved ones who have passed over this last year that make it even more difficult, to where when it gets to the end of the Christmas season, there's a very large percentage of you that will have the Christmas blues. And it happens every year. And I always sit there and say, what can we do to help people so they don't have this? And I don't have that answer. My wife and I are decorating yesterday, and we got in an argument about a manger scene. How does that happen? And who was pouting? It wasn't my wife. That's all I got to say. So we're gonna look and we're going to read about this warfare. So let me invite you to stand, if you can, with your Bibles. And I am going to read Ephesians chapter 6 all the way down to verse 17. It says, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Father, we pray that as we talk about this helmet of salvation, that we would see that spiritual warfare is real and that we would do what your word says, and that is to take the helmet of salvation. And so we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm trying to get my thing to work. There we go. Got it working. Okay, point one. What's the purpose of a helmet? He's saying, put on the helmet of salvation. I have on my little prop table here, a few helmets. Could have gotten many more. So, This isn't rocket science, people. Why do you put a helmet on? Well, you put a helmet on to protect your head. And if you don't, you're in trouble. I mean, this is somewhat basic. Helmets, they are different kinds, but the goal of that helmet is to protect your brain and some of your face. And if you don't do it, you're going to get hurt. There are all kinds of pictures out there of people who would be dead if they were not wearing helmets. This construction worker would have that piece of iron in his brain. Now, he might not be dead, but what happens when your brain is injured and you have brain damage? Your body doesn't work too well. I mean, that's just a fact. Here's a gentleman that was skiing, and he hit a tree, and it still poked a hole in the helmet and poked his head, but it would have split his head open like a log if he hadn't had that helmet on. Motorcycle accidents are, I mean, you need, if you're going to ride a motorcycle, and there's some of you that ride your motorcycles and you don't wear a helmet. That's foolish. Can I just say that? I mean, I'm just put that out there. We go down, matter of fact, Jim Reimer and I are going down to Paraguay this week to plan a trip for next year, Lord willing, and the number one cause of death for young people down in Paraguay are motorcycle accidents. You will see a family of four on a motorcycle riding along, and none of them have helmets. And so, I mean, and there's like traffic all over the place, and so what happens? They get hit, and they're brain dead. So if you need body parts, I guess Paraguay is the place to go because they're harvesting lots of body parts. It's kind of sad, but true. Bicycles, kids. Your parents say, put your helmet on. Why do they tell you to put your helmet on? Because if you fall, I know it's going to mess your hair up. And I know that's a bad thing, but it's going to mess your noodle up. You have to wear a helmet. Even this is an actual police SWAT team helmet where someone was shot and lived, but if he didn't have this helmet, he would have died. So the reality of life is that we live in a world that God has made us, and our head is very important. It controls our thinking, and our brains right there. It controls our thinking, our perception, our emotions, our behavior. You won't be able to act well if your brain's not working, and many, many other things. And so protecting the helmet's very important. Very important. And even your face, because your head covers your face. When I was a young man up to 13, I played hockey. And that was I was a goalie, and that was the mask I wore, which nowadays you don't see those unless you're watching like Halloween movies. I guess Jason, the guy. But nowadays, they have goalie helmets that protect every part. I mean, I never had this when I was a kid. I mean, they had this little piece of plastic that when you got hit, it hurt. But you know, so you need to protect all that is there. So pretty clear when he's talking about the helmet, he's talking about you need to protect your head. You need to protect your mind. And the Roman soldiers had these helmets. Some would start off with leather, but they were fashioned in such a way that they would protect them from the battles and in the battles that they were in. Pretty straightforward. Put on the helmet. Now, what is the meaning of the helmet of salvation? I mean, what's that about? What is the helmet of salvation? It's not like these that were getting baptized, there was one day that they said, okay, I'm going to put on my helmet. Now I am a Christian. I put my helmet on. That's not how it works. It's not like you put a helmet on and you have salvation. It's not like there is just a act where it's like, I just got to do this thing. But we know that, I'm just going to quote what R.C. Sproul has said. Although Satan cannot kill the soul, he can wound the mind. Those who are in a state of salvation have their minds covered by the salvation, past, present, and future, that has been wrought for them in Christ. And so I want to look at that. What does it mean, salvation past, present, and future? Salvation past. Salvation past refers to many things, but it's really, it nails down our justification and our adoption as his children. Justification is the judicial act of God whereby he declares a sinner righteous and he treats you as such. It is something that God does on our behalf, that Christ came and Jesus imputed to us his righteousness, and our sin was placed upon him, and God declares us forgiven, righteous. In Ephesians 1:13, in him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace you have been, that is past tense, you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So no one gets to heaven by being good, by doing good. We are not good enough to earn or merit eternal life. That God in the gospel sent his son that we would be forgiven, that we would be redeemed. And when we trust him, when we by faith turn and surrender him, we were saved. For me, I was saved. 1981 is when I turned and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I had heard the illustration. It's not as though God threw me a life preserver and I grabbed onto it. I was dead in the bottom of the pool. And God dove into that pool, so to speak, pulled me out, and he breathed life into me on the banks. And I'm alive because of what he has done. Those people that were baptized and they declared their faith, it's because God did a work of justification in their lives. And in that, basically in that same time frame, he adopted us as his sons. We become sons and daughters of God through faith in him. And that all happened in the past. Now, when we say put on the helmet of salvation, how does that apply in this spiritual warfare that we're in? Well, we need to remind ourselves of what happened. That there was a point in time that I did surrender my life to the Lord, and it was real. And though we all struggle here to remind myself that Christ came and he removed my sin as far as the east is from the west, and that was a real event that took place, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. And if you're here today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there was a time in the past when God opened your blind eyes and you believed and God did a work, and you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It was a gift of God, not by works. It wasn't like any of you were great. No one was born a Christian. He did that for us. But when we put on that helmet, it reminds us who I am and how I was bought at a price. And so that reminds us of what he has done, and so we do that. And then there's salvation present. Yes, that happened to me, 37 years ago? But even now, it is being worked out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, present tense, it is the power of God. This deals with the whole concept of sanctification. In a real sense, sanctification is the process, the ongoing process in which the believer lives. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer the moment we trust him. He's the hand that comes inside the glove. He is the seal. He is the one that changes our mind, that is renewing our minds, so that we become more and more conformed into the image of Christ, into the image of his holiness. As we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are in a real practical way being saved. I'm working out the salvation. The present reality of salvation is there. In Philippians, it says this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God in work, who works in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. So this does not refer to working for your salvation. This is not it. But it is the believer's response. And by the way, it is the natural response of a believer who's truly a believer that will abide in Christ, that will submit to him. And so here's how that works of putting on the helmet of salvation for you and I today. There's going to be things that are going on, and the devil's going to want to say to you, you don't have to do that. You're forgiven. Remember, salvation past, you're forgiven. Just go do what you want. It's free grace. Come on. It doesn't matter how you live. You live to make you happy. That's what the devil's going to put in your and my heads and does all the time. And yet, I know that I am a child of God and that his spirit is within me and he is calling me to live for him. In Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. And so the devil would say, just be about you. This Christmas season, just be about you. Can I just save Pastor Jason and I a lot of counseling right now? Don't be about you. Seriously. You're gonna find yourself miserable, depressed. You're gonna have all these goofy emotions that come inside all of us during the Christmas season because it doesn't fit the build of what we've been taught. It doesn't, if you would, satisfy all those little things. You know, we don't get those presents like we wanted, and there's disappointments that are there. And let me tell you, it's not about you. Christmas season is about the birth of Christ. And we say, thank you, Jesus. You came and you lived and you died that we would have life. And so what do we do now? We live for him. We throw off the sin that clings to us. We got to throw it off. I mean, go out in the mud, roll in the mud, let the mud dry. And what do you need to do? You got to get rid of it. You got to kick off the mud. You got to get that away. And how do we do that? We look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. It says in 1 Peter 1, 16, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God wants you in this present time to become more and more like him. So those thoughts that are critical, that are negative, that's not of Jesus. Jesus is not saying to you, you know what? Be critical of your in-laws. Be critical of your spouse. Be critical of that neighbor. Be critical of that coworker. No, he doesn't want it. He wants us to be holy. And again, how we preach that to ourselves right now as we put on that helmet of salvation is to remind ourselves that, wait a minute, I am his, and I need to act within the understanding, out of the outflow of the salvation that I currently have. And he who has begun a good work in me is going to see it through to completion. He's not done with me yet, but I just can't sit there and say, I'm not in the mood to put the helmet on today. Just not in the mood. I'm going to go do what I want to do. When we do that, we are ineffective. Right now, our salvation is not being worked out. When it is being worked out, it's a beautiful thing. A lot of the testimonies that came out of there were because of people who reached out and were the hands and feet of Jesus, knowing right now that God has a work for you to do. What are you doing for him right now? And I don't want to hear what you did for him, because he's not done with you. He's done with you when you're dead. But he's got things for you to do. He's prepared good works for you to do in advance. And it may be different than what you're doing now, but there are people who God wants to use you in their lives to make a difference. And that's where you put that helmet of salvation on. And then there's future salvation. There is coming a day where This deals with the whole standpoint of glorification. There's going to be coming a day when we shall see him as he is. It says in 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we shall be is not yet appeared, but when we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I look forward to that day. Could you imagine going a day where you don't sin or get grumpy or frustrated? Maybe it's just me. You guys are all perfect. But just think about that. Not getting irritated by whatever. And so that is a glorious truth. In Romans 13:11, it says, besides this, you know that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So it's nearer. So there is a future salvation. We're going to enter into the full completion of that, where there's going to be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So there is a future hope that there's going to come a day where I'm going to be entering into the completion of my salvation, and that's going to be glorious, where the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so we look at salvation, past, present, and future. And there's implications of putting on that helmet and understanding who I am and what he has called me to do and what is my future hope. And so how do we do this? How do we put on that helmet and we protect our mind? This is your battle. This is my battle every day. What's going on in your head? Seriously, what are you thinking? Because the scripture says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. When we protect our mind, we're sitting there, we're running it through the grid of scripture. And so you're angry at someone, what does the scripture say? Forgive as the Lord's forgiven you. You got a problem with someone, you go to them and you make it right. You know, are you downcast in your soul? What is your hope in? These are the things that moment by moment, day by day, as we protect our mind, we take in God's word. And there's times where, you know what we need to do? We just need to repent. There's times where we realize, you know, I haven't been putting on the helmet of salvation. I've been on auto mode, living for me. And when we live for me, we are miserable. Young people, you're in a spiritual warfare. And if you look towards Christmas like, oh, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? What am I going to get? Can I tell you this much? You're going to be disappointed. Because even if you get what you want, those things break and they get old and a new model comes out. And so when we realize, man, there is a warfare that's going on, we need to renew our mind. And so when we do that, we protect our head. And we get it in order. If you don't, I'm telling you, the helmet, if it's not put on, you're going to run into all kinds of difficulty. You're gonna have it. Now, here's the thing that, and really came out of the testimonies too. Is your helmet real, or is it fake? I got two helmets here. Two fire hats. One of them is not real, and one of them's real. Now, how do we know which one's real? Well, if we just come and we just bring a little trauma to the head, we'll see what happens. I drop it on this one. It's smushed. I drop it on this one. Nothing. And it could be that you've had a salvation, that you've said the words, yes, Jesus is my Savior. Might even have been baptized. But are you really there? Are you sitting there saying, Lord, I'm going to put on the armor of God. I need you every moment of every day. I don't want to play. I don't want the toy. I don't want the toy salvation that really, it'll do you no good. Something falls on it. And so maybe today, as we go into this Christmas season, today is something where you say, Lord, in reality, I know the answers, but I haven't made you my King, my Master, my Lord. Maybe today is the day where you say, yeah, I'm going to put on this helmet of salvation, and I'm going to rededicate my life to you, that you would be real. And that I would understand that, yes, I'm in this warfare, and I start afresh. Because, mark my word, as today is November 25th, December 25th, 1 month from right now, if I sat there and followed you around and just charted what's going on in your head, just charted. I mean, if you charted that with me, it would not be a pretty picture. I just got to tell you, I'm more and more aware that I need to put my helmet on every day. I got to put on the full armor of God, because I am a wretch that Jesus has saved and is saving. And there's going to come a day when I'm going to be glorified, where I will no longer have to struggle with sin. But I know what I can't do. I can't sit there and just say, well, I'm just going to get up and just do my thing. Every day I got to put on the full armor. Every day. And when I don't, just talk to the people around me. And so, this is a somewhat basic lesson, but it's so powerful for us to sit there and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Today's the day that you've made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let me be a man, a woman, a child who takes God's word and starts to apply it and takes every thought captive, because it's a battle for the mind. And right now, some of you you're in the battle. Continue in it. Keep renewing your mind. One of the great things that when I was away on vacation, because I'm going all the time, just going all the time, too much, just too much. And I had a time where I just sat there and really took like 4 or 5 days. And I got like 30 days ahead of my Bible reading. I read books. I listened to probably almost 20 sermons, and just took a break. And I know probably won't be able to do that for a long time, but I should be able to do that every now and then to stop the pace and to renew my mind. I need to be doing it every day, but I also got to be doing it where I take that break, and where you take that break. If you're busy going from thing to thing to thing to thing, and this Christmas season is going to do it, you got to give yourself a rest. God has instituted rest. And that rest means that you get aside, you get quiet, you get your Bible, and you spend time with Jesus. And trust me, there's going to be pull on your time. You got to go to this party. You got to go to this. You got to go to this. You got year-end work. You got to get it done. We all need to sit there and stop and take stock. Am I putting on the armor? Am I putting on the helmet of salvation? I want to pray for us right now. Father, you know everything. Your word says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my mouth, you know it completely, O Lord. So we come to you and we acknowledge that you are God. And we pray, Lord, that for those of us that need to pause and to think about the warfare that we're in and how the devil wants to distract us, Lord, help us to know that your ways are right, good, and perfect. Help us to put on that full armor including the helmet of salvation, every day. Help us to know that you are at work. So if you're here right now, and you're saying to God, God, I need a fresh start. I'm just going to ask you right now, just to raise your hand just a little bit, and I'm not even going to look. God knows. But just in that very act to say, Lord, I need a fresh start. I need to renew my mind. Just slip it up and put it down. Lord, you do know every heart. You know those that are under the pressure of life. We cannot do life without you. You know those of us that our minds are sideways with bitterness or resentment or anxiety or fear. We can do nothing apart from you. So I pray, Lord, that you would so move in our hearts that we would put on that armor, that you would give us that fresh start, that even in that we would forgive, we would look at the world through your eyes, that we would have a better perspective on tomorrow because you are God and you are at work in our lives and we are your children and you have given us salvation in the past. You are working it out now and there is a future glorification. And it's all by your grace. Not any of us, but Lord, we cannot do life without you. So as we come, we surrender all to you. And we pray that you would do your work in Jesus' name. Amen.
We need to be reminded of our salvation, taking it up every day. This song will help us remind us of that. Would you stand and join us on this? I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound,
and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still, and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise.
shall pierce the night, and I will
sing his praise. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do praise you. We thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for those who have declared their faith through the waters of baptism. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to take the helmet of salvation. Lord, help us to do it, the whole armor, moment by moment, day by day. Your word says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.